reviewing the whole 6010.
Into Fantasy Focus. Today's show is presented by Geico. Insurance can be hard. That's why Geico makes it easy with 24/7 claim service and on-the-go policy info in the app. It is easy to Geico. My name is Daniel Dopp, joined by Mike Clay and Fields Yates. How are you guys doing after that week 10 slate?
Okay. All right. I want to know how Fields' day proceeded, because you were furious like I've never seen you during the morning game, the Patriots-Colts game.
Oh,
that's
true.
You had some bad luck out of the game with Pittman.
Couple of things, yeah.
And I've never seen you that angry.
Yeah, you know, I told myself, I pledged in previous years to not let myself get become like emotionally, I would succumb emotionally to the various waves that are involved with fantasy football.
So much for that.
Sure. I drew the parallel. I know, which I was doing well. And I drew the parallel to playing golf. I used to be the kind of person that when I missed a putt, I would, you know, probably swear on the golf course, not out loud, but just in my own mind. I follow golf
etiquette.
Yes. And I realized that I'm bad enough at golf when I'm calm and at ease. But when I'm mad, I'm just that much worse. Mm-hmm. So I need to remain at ease on the golf course. Yesterday, I think I went past my limits, because it's still a game. We still have no control over these things. Once the games begin, there is so much that is out of our control. So, Mike, thanks for pointing that out. Thanks for outing me to America.
That's
I appreciate that. And I'll tell you this. The day did not get better.
No.
So how's that for an answer?
Wow. Yeah. All right.
It's okay. You know what? Long season. We're going to fight back. We're going to fight back. We are undeterred. We are like who's the hottest team that was bad for a while? We are the
Lions. You're the Minnesota Vikings.
No, the Lions weren't bad this year. We're the Vikings.
Oh, you mean this year.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. We are the Vikings right now. We are the Vikings. Yes. I am Joshua Dobbs, and we are the Vikings.
Yes. Love that. Of all the people to be right now.
By the way, that's kind of like me yesterday, where I was scrolling my teams on all my ESPN teams, and I say, oh yeah, I'm crushing Daniel by like 80 in the Dynasty League. Go to the next slide. Oh, he's crushing me by 80 in the season. So one good, one bad. We don't have any close games going. We're playing each other in two leagues this week. They're both blowouts.
How great is that? Fantasy is just a fickle game.
No,
that's how that works.
Else.
All right, let's talk about all the things. We're going to recap everything that we watched on Sunday from week 10. Let's start with the Dallas Cowboys, because there been a player over the last 4 weeks that has been better than Dak Prescott?
If you're defining it by most fantasy points scored, the answer is no. Mm-hmm. How about this? Let's just rip off Dak's game logs over the past four games he's played. So this goes back to week six. Week six, 272 passing yards with a touchdown, plus 40 rushing yards and a touchdown.
Love
24.88 fantasy points, quarterback one for the week. The next game, 304 passing yards, 4 passing touchdowns, 28.06 fantasy points, quarterback 3 for the week.
Yep.
Week 9, 374, 3 touchdowns, quarterback 2 for the week. And then yesterday, 404 passing yards, 4 passing touchdowns, 37.86 points. Unless we get an absolute behemoth game from either Josh Allen or Russell Wilson tonight, he will once again be quarterback 1 for the week. And by the way, Mike, this is sustainable because of the schedule going forward. Mm-hmm. It is so soft for Dak over the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, it is. And for some context on those numbers, a top three scorer all four of those weeks. Remember, this is a guy the first month or so of the season had no top 15 finishes.
None. Yes.
And now he has had four straight top threes. They figured out this offense. You know what they figured out?
CD Lamb.
Yes, throw it to one player every time. Like, who cares about Tony Pollard and Michael Gallup? Gallup, by the way, playing behind Jalen Tolbert yesterday. Yeah. We're sort of in a rotation. He's going the wrong direction. It's just the CD Lamb show, who he has set a record here. What is it? 10 plus catches and 150 plus yards in three straight games. It's never been done before.
How good is that guy, by the way?
So good. Again, another guy that got off to a slow start this year, and he has just been red hot.
Give me that. Give me that one more time.
Targets. He is the first player in NFL history with three straight games with at least 10 catches and at least 150 receiving yards. Over his past three games, he has 44 targets. Nearly 15 targets per game for CeeDee Lamb. The Cowboys draw the Panthers this upcoming weekend. And if you're saying, well, are they just going to blow him out and they're going to be out by halftime? They were not out by halftime yesterday, but they didn't last a whole lot longer than that. And he had another monster week, only bested by one other wide receiver that we'll mention in a moment. And this is just like kind of obvious, right? Like, CeeDee Lamb, in terms of talents, like what, one of the 5, 7, 8 best wide receivers in the entire NFL.
Definitely.
One of the top dynasty assets in all of football right now. The guy is unbelievable. The Cowboys are finally feeding him, as they should. The rewards have been excellent offense and a winning streak. Not a winning streak, but they have been good in the win-loss column recently, except for that very narrow loss to the Eagles, which the offense was not the issue.
Yeah, they only play, they continue this. They only play blowout games, whether win yes, or yeah. loss. Seven of their nine games have been decided by, I think it's 20 points. Or, yeah.
Oh, so, wow. Really?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Something along those lines. So it's just been blowout after blowout. And another one here, just another one in this game, but still yeah. Lamb put up the big points.
And we'll talk about Tony Pollard later in the show because if yeah. everything is going so well for Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb, think about the opposite effect, and that is currently plaguing Tony Pollard,
which doesn't yeah, make any sense.
Exactly what I was going to say. It does not make sense because most of them blowouts have been wins, and yet he's not producing. He isn't. We'll get to it in a little while.
We'll talk.
You're right. He's one of the weirdest players in fantasy this year. We'll talk about it.
Real quick, with this uptick in Dak Prescott usage and how he's just looking fantastic, do you think that there's a second pass catcher? Jake Ferguson, we're trusting at the tight end position. Do you think that Brandon Cooks or anyone else in this offense has become trusted enough for you to use? Or is this one of those, like, it's just a dart throw if you're going to use him?
All right, so I have a stat here. Okay, so last night, yesterday, at 10 targets, 9 catches, 173 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah.
Here's how much of his season total that accounted for.
Okay.
26% of his targets, 35% of his catches, 51% of his yards, 33% of his touchdowns, and 40% of his fantasy points.
Got it.
Him in one game. So the answer there is no.
No.
We cannot trust him.
Correct.
He's been a little better lately, 14 plus points in three of his last four, but he's been under seven in every other game. And that includes the Eagles game where he just had the one catch for 7 yards. So
correct.
No, not we're not there yet. With
not there yet.
He has over four targets in a game twice this season.
Wow.
So if you think four targets is adequate for Brandon Cooks, then you can go ahead and start him. If you don't, like I do, then you should not be starting Brandon
Cooks. Yeah, I think he's, by the way, I think he's okay for the bench. Maybe he will develop into that because there's probably room for someone else, but no one has established themselves yet. And it's not going to be Michael Gallup. I think that's been made pretty evident. So maybe it's Cooks, but it's been Jake Ferguson lately. He's been kind of the number two fantasy option there.
The Fantasy Purple People Eaters looked pretty fantastic with Josh Dobbs under center again.
What a great story.
One of the things that happened in this game, I do want to say this, Alexander Mattison left with a concussion. We will have more information on that tomorrow, but field, it just, if you have Josh Dobbs under center, I feel way better about everybody that I would consider within that offense, and he proved it again this week.
Yeah, and I think in some ways, though, this might be the story of Josh Dobbs himself yesterday, right? Because the pass catchers not named T.J. Hockenson were not exactly, you know, they did not show out yesterday.
Wasn't
but it certainly makes
either.
You feel...
Jalen Naylor?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
Jalen Naylor. It makes you feel better just about the offense in general. We'll talk about Hockenson in just a moment, but Josh Dobbs this season now is, so I guess as remains, but coming into last week, he was second most... He had the second most rushing yards amongst all quarterbacks, trailing only Lamar Jackson. Does it again yesterday. Another 20-plus point effort. He has five games this season with 20 or more fantasy points. Mm-hmm. And while I think there are some reasons why Josh Dobbs has bounced around the NFL, the guy has certainly acquitted himself well. It's a very fantasy-friendly offense, and the athleticism is real. It's not just design runs. It's some of the unscripted runs, the incredible rushing touchdown yesterday that was out of nowhere for Josh Dobbs. This is a chance to be a real thing, a borderline top 12 or 15 quarterback in most weeks.
Yeah, this year's Geno Smith. Kind of.
Yeah.
You know, kind of a late career breakout. He is eighth in fantasy points, a quarterback right
Pretty
now.
Pretty crazy. Yeah.
And he's been way better as of late, too. To your point, a rushing touchdown in four straight, six plus carries in five straight. So doing it with his arm and his legs. And shout out Kevin O'Connell. Just Kirk Cousins out. Josh
Dobbs. ESPN college football analyst Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah, and he has
this. People forget that.
Yeah. This is a good looking offense. And I was very curious to see with Cousins out, what would O'Connell's offense look like with a different quarterback, an inferior quarterback, frankly. And it hasn't kind of missed a beat so far. And again, this week, this upcoming week, it's possible they will have Justin Jefferson, not for sure, but possible. Jefferson and KJ Osborne and Jordan Addison and TJ Hockenson for the first time since Jefferson got hurt. So and Addison at that point was still sort of evolving and emerging. So it could just get better for this offense and for Josh Dobbs. By the way, you're right. Alex Mattison also, before he got hurt, the carries were 8 for him, 8 for Ty Chandler.
Yeah.
So kind of interesting. Chandler should be the waiver ad this week, I would say.
Yes, he sure will be. By the way, TJ Hockenson now has the most fantasy points amongst all tight ends this season. Yes, Travis Kelce has had a bye and also missed a game all the way back in week one, but 16.11 fantasy points per game for TJ Hockenson, within 1 point per game of Travis Kelce.
Yeah, and
didn't TJ have like 10 for 129 in a touchdown at halftime, and he finished with 11 and 134?
Yeah, well, they were blowing this game out.
For right.
It was 27-3 at one point. Jameis came back in and made it interesting. We'll monitor the Derek Carr injury, by the way, throughout the week. But shout out to TJ Hockenson.
Yeah.
What a great player he's been. And by the way, that does not mean, like, I was actually commenting on this with some folks in the war room yesterday. What a fascinating trade that was. I think it's actually legitimately worked out for both sides.
Sure,
like, Sam Laporta is the real deal. He's cost controlled for like $4 million for the next 4 years and an awesome player. Hawkinson makes 16 per year, so different price point.
Yeah.
What a weird, awesome trade. It's worked out great for both sides, and Hawkinson certainly the second best tight end in fantasy right now as far as I am concerned.
By the way, reports were he would be limited in this game, and that was true. Yep. He was not playing all the snaps, so like usually does, didn't matter. Still got the targets, still got
at
the
least
fantasy
eight
production.
Targets in every game this season except for one.
Yeah, and he's an example of why we say, yeah, he might be limited, but you're still starting TJ Hawkinson.
Sure.
Right really there. Quickly, too, Keenan Allen was fantastic. 40 fantasy points, 11 catches, 175 yards, 2 touchdowns, 14 targets. He is locked in with no Mike Williams, no Josh Palmer. Field. He is the guy that Justin Herbert is looking
well,
to.
Hold on. First of all, though, what do I always say? Once a guy turns like 30, 31, 32, that's when they have a career
that's
year.
That's when they take
I
out.
I say that all the time. Here comes the career year for Keenan Allen.
Correct. Keenan Allen, by the way, here is a full list of every player in the NFL this year with 40 or more fantasy points in 2 games. Keenan Allen, that's it. End of the list.
Wow.
He has 2 of the 11 in the NFL this season. He's got at least 9 targets in every game this season except for 1. He's unbelievable. We were talking about this also because, of course, they played the Lions yesterday. Justin Herbert is playing out of his gourd right now,
yes,
and Keenan Allen is like the only legitimate player that you trust amongst the wide receivers and tight ends. He left the game yesterday with a shoulder injury, comes back in, catches the touchdown in a wacky 41-38 effort that the Lions end up winning. But in terms of fantasy MVPs, the conversation does include Keenan Allen for this season because of how great he has been and where he was drafted.
It's been fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing more to add. He has been great. And by the way, in all seriousness, the analysis there, oftentimes with the receivers that are in their early 30s, it's they're short-range slot guys. They can last longer as elite fantasy options.
6 touchdowns already this season for Keenan Allen, by the way.
Hey, that's pretty fantastic.
Pushing for career-high numbers in that regard.
Would you say he's out of his gourd?
Yeah, you don't like that term?
I don't know what that means.
Okay, I'll teach you the next
I've heard
segment.
It before. I just don't know what
I'll
that
teach
means.
You the next segment.
All right, we're going to keep on moving with this Week 10 recap, but Field, first, let's pay some bills. I'm going to start. Do you mind with
go
that?
For it, yeah, if you want to.
For the ones who want to get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by.
Home, auto, prize sports memorabilia, whatever you need to protect, Geico can help get you covered. And with the award-winning Geico mobile app, you can get 24/7 claim support and on-the-go policy access. It's easy to Geico. Go to geico.com today.
Level up your game day with Vivid Seats and get great tickets to the biggest games of the year. Plus, with Vivid Seats rewards, you can score free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, an annual birthday discount, and more. They're the only ticket company in the game that rewards fans for every purchase as the official ticketing partner of ESPN. Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code FFF. That is code FFF. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. All right, back here on Fantasy Focus, Daniel Dopp, Mike Clay, and Field Yates making our way through our Week 10 recap. Talking about the Detroit Lions backfield, guys. There
for the
were
rest
big
of
questions.
The show.
How about this?
We can't do that, guys. I mean, I could do that, but we shouldn't do that. We talked about this coming into it. What is this split going to look like between David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs? Honestly, Field, when you look at this, we saw Jahmyr Gibbs get a little bit more run here than David Montgomery. That's surprising for all of us, I
perhaps
think.
A turning of the tides. Mm-hmm. This is the first game this season in which both David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs have played, in which Jahmyr Gibbs both outrushed and out-touched David Montgomery. I'm talking about number of rushing attempts, not just number of rushing yards. As David Montgomery ends up getting the edge there. But Jahmyr Gibbs yesterday has 14 carries for 77 yards, hits Pater twice, and oh, by the way, gets 2 goal-to-go rushing attempts. How many, I bet Mike knows the answer to this, did he have coming into that game yesterday?
How many goal-to-go?
Yeah.
1?
Yes. So he doubled up his total yesterday from the preceding, whatever, 6 games that he had played so far this season.
Yep.
Then he also hauls in 3 catches for 35 yards. Meanwhile, David Montgomery was also very good, but the vast majority of his production came on 1 very long touchdown run, 75 yards. Otherwise, he has 11 carries for 41 yards, Mike. Could this be a changing of the guard in the Detroit backfield?
I think so. I mean, Gibbs played 37 snaps, 24 for David Montgomery, so that was a decent edge. I think that gap will start to close. I think we'll see a little bit of of hot hand. A little bit of game script will be part of it. Remember, this was kind of a back
game
and forth.
Script is the important part, I think.
Yeah, I think so. There was a little bit of a shootout element to this game, which I think helped Jahmyr Gibbs. So the way I project it is going forward, or certainly for this week again, Chicago is a little edge in carries to Montgomery. Yeah. And then certainly not many targets because Montgomery only had a handful of targets the game Gibbs was out. Otherwise, a non-factor there. But obviously a decent share of the carries and a lot of targets for Jahmyr Gibbs in the projection. Look, if I projected this and I gave an edge to carries for Gibbs, like he had in this game, and the bulk of the targets, Gibbs would be a top five running back at least in fantasy points. And here's the thing. Three straight top three finishes for Gibbs. Awesome. So maybe that is where he should be, but I'm going to be a little more conservative with where I rank him for now because I don't think Montgomery's going away.
I don't think so. Yeah. And Mike, the upcoming schedule, I think, really plays into that as well. Over the next four games, they play the Bears twice and the Packers. So this could be like they could have games where, remember the first time they played the Packers, David Montgomery had 33 rushing attempts. So while it was great to see Jahmyr Gibbs ball out yesterday, and he will have a legitimate role, like we have certainly made it clear that both of these guys can be started every single week when they're both playing now going forward. I think we'll see a bit more David Montgomery in future weeks. Yesterday was a very Big 12 football game, and it was perfect for Jahmyr Gibbs. That was part of the reason why you draft a player like that 12th overall.
Yeah, I'm excited about the two revenge game narratives we're going to get with David Montgomery getting the Bears twice in the next four weeks. I'm very excited to see how that's going to work out.
Lions defense, a reasonable add on waivers this week as well.
Amon-Ra St. Brown also looked fantastic. He is locked in as the wide receiver one within this offense. The dude just keeps producing. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, 14 plus fantasy points in every game. Yeah. So he's still like wide receiver seven about where he was last year, but the floor with him is tremendous.
Great floor.
What an alpha.
Great floor.
What an alpha.
Seriously.
Like, I just feel like if I wanted to, I don't know, I mean, maybe I'm sure there are others in the NFL that come to mind, but that's got to be one of like the I don't think I can say that word, bad, blankest dudes in the entire NFL.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he, speaking of playing the Bears, brother.
Equanimous St. Brown.
That'll be fun.
Are the parents going to have a split jersey this weekend?
I don't know, maybe.
Can his dad even fit into a jersey?
That's a good question, actually.
That is a good one.
Needs a quadruple X.
Yeah. Let's talk about Kyler Murray. Mike Clay, we got to finally see Kyler Murray return to action. I'll tell you what, watching him out there, I was looking at one thing. How is he going to scramble? How is he going to use his legs? How is he going to look moving around? He looked fantastic. It looked like the old Kyler Murray was out there.
Yeah, he looked great. He had one play where he was pressured and went to the left side and then went around and all the way. Yeah. He looked like normal Kyler Murray. Six carries, 33 yards, and a touchdown. He's 17 fantasy points. He was fine. I think we can start considering him a back-end QB1 at least going forward. I will say this, though. They had a tush push opportunity.
Yes.
They actually had
Clayton Tune in.
That's right. Clayton Tune came in. I guess they wanted to protect Murray. We'll see if that continues going forward or if they'll get
Kyler's
more.
Kyler's tush is quite a bit lower than Clayton's. I don't think they could get low enough to get down there.
Yeah, well, that's it. But what if they can keep doing that? I'm not too concerned about it. It's just he could lose maybe the occasional touchdown here or there.
Yes, I agree.
I'm not super worried about it.
I wouldn't be surprised by that. Think about there are other teams that, like, you know, the Chiefs never quarterback sneak with Patrick Mahomes after he had that dislocated knee several years ago. There are teams that just avoid the quarterback sneak with their quarterback because of just how important that player is to their franchise or a prior injury in the case of the Chiefs. So I wouldn't be surprised if Clayton Tune continues to get opportunities like that. It sort of reminds me of at the end of the half when Jacoby Brissett is like the designated throw the Hail Mary quarterback. If your team has to chuck the ball at the end of the half, like 65 yards, and you have Brissett as your backup, I don't care if you have Tom Brady in his prime back there. You might actually have Jacoby Brissett because he has a cannon arm.
By the way, speaking of cannon arms, I think the best throw of his career by Zach Wilson happened last night. You know what I'm talking about?
Hail Mary at the end of the game.
Yeah, what a play. He was like shaking off Max Crosby and then throws a bullet. I mean, that was amazing. I wish I got caught because that was a heck of a play by him.
Oh, man. Jets fans wish that as well. Yeah, let's talk about their Jets offense at some point this week. But Kyler really was like super encouraging. You know, the passing game work was, you know, 250 passing yards or 249 for Kyler. That part is definitely important. But as you guys both hammered, the fact that he had 33 rushing yards, including some designed runs yesterday, was so essential. For context, last year he averaged just about 40 rushing yards per game. I'm excluding the game in which he got hurt because it was very early on in the game. But in the 10 games prior to that, it was like 410 rushing yards, basically 41 rush yards per game in his first game back from an ACL tear, to be just 8 yards shy of that average with a rushing touchdown. Super valuable for Kyler.
Arizona goes to Houston this week. Should be a fun one.
Oh, yeah, that'll be a good one.
I would say safely we'll have him as a fringe top 10 quarterback.
Right, do you think CJ Stroud will be a fringe top 10 quarterback?
I think he'll be a fringe top 5 quarterback.
Yes. You know, the crazy part is he was unbelievable yesterday and still fell short of 20 fantasy points. Like, that's just what happens when you don't run as a quarterback.
Right.
It just makes the path to getting to 25 fantasy points so much
tougher. That's true, but scoring is so down and there's so few good quarterbacks. He's still in that QB1 totally conversation.
Closing this out on Kyler Murray, still available in 45% of fantasy leagues. So if you need a quarterback, he's someone you can grab off of waivers this week. By the way, really quickly, want to mention this. Trey McBride looked fantastic. I wondered what he was going to look like with Kyler Murray.
Did you see the stat? The stat?
I saw a stat line. What's the stat?
Trey McBride is the first Cardinals tight end with 100 receiving yards in a game since 1989.
No way.
What? Ertz didn't get there?
No.
Wow, and he was heavily targeted. That's incredible.
Who? 1989.
Which Cardinals tight end in 1989?
I don't know. Was that the inspo for Taylor's album?
Is that
what she's referencing in 1989? It was some random tight end that I can't even recall. I was born in 87. I'm 37. That's 34 years ago.
Wow.
That's nuts.
Wow, that is. That's unbelievable. I would have thought for sure Ertz got there once.
Right.
At least. Wow. Yeah.
Robert Await.
There we go.
Week 10 in 1980. Week 10 also of 1989.
That is wild.
History was made.
34 years. That's insane.
Dude, if you're looking for someone, Trey McBride continuing to be in that tight end conversation.
He's available in over 50% of leagues. Yep.
Kyler and McBride, pick him up. Just they pick can save both yourself. Of them
yes. Exactly.
Yeah. And maybe Michael Wilson,
you know,
too.
We do these. I do a couple of waiver segments during the week for various television shows, which are not, you know, like super heavily fantasy focused. So when you're discussing these things with the producers, some of it is like kind of teaching them kind of like where you're coming from and sort of educating them on like, you know, why a player might be valuable off waivers. And it's like every week for the past month, I've been like, yeah, Kyler Murray, Trey McBride. They're like, So last week and the week before talking about them, like, apparently your voice is not resonating with the viewers. So let's try somebody else. Yeah.
No one's listening to you, sir.
Evidently not.
I'll tell you what. Let's try Bijan Robinson. Do you think that we unlocked Bijan Robinson with everything we did? Us?
Yeah. I mean, we are definitely the reason why he got the goal line kick.
He had as many touches as he has had this season. I am thrilled that he finally got the workload. That part at least seems to have gotten through.
So do we like the positive or the negative spin on this one? Because I feel like I can already sense that Mike knows where I'm going with the negative spin. Here's the positive. Let's start with the positive.
Okay.
22 rushes. That's a career high for Bijan. Yeah. 23 total touches, which is a tied for the career high for Bijan.
Yep.
He did get a goal to go carry yesterday, all season.
Did he score on it?
He did. Yeah, yes, weirdly. He sure did. Weirdly enough, he scored.
That's crazy.
He actually got a punt return to open the game for Atlanta. So it was almost like Arthur Smith was telling us, like, I know I need to get the guy the ball more because he's just that good. Here's the not so good part. One catch on one target.
Yeah.
One catch on one target. Mm-hmm. Is it too much for me to ask for it to be like 18 rushes and 6 catches as opposed to 22 rushes and 1 catch, Mike?
No, I mean, you have to get the ball to, well, I was going to say Matt Collins. He wasn't there. Stop. But Van Jefferson.
Yeah.
Jefferson. And Jonnu Smith and all these other. No, I'm with you. I want to see more targets. His target share during weeks 1 through 4 was great. 21%. We were feeling good. This is how we want him to be utilized. We were almost okay with fewer carries. You know, give us 15 carries and 5-6 targets, we're happy. 12% his last 5 full games. I'm not even counting the game where he only played 10 snaps. Not even counting that one. Still just 12%. So I'm with you, but it was good to see him play almost 80% of the snaps. It was his third highest snap share of the season.
Yep.
As long as that continues, he's going to continue to get plenty of volume. So
4-6 Falcons now, by the way.
Yeah.
4-6.
They're in a bye now.
Yeah.
Bijan Robinson through the first 6 games, 26 receptions.
Yeah.
Through weeks 1 through 6. From week 7 through 10, he has 3.
Yeah.
3. He went from 26 to 3. Yeah. What, like, under what circumstance does that disappear in that same way? Finding ways to manufacture touches from, does it just...
I know how it disappears. We start getting mad at Arthur Smith about not throwing him the football now.
Now it's like, we got
to... So it's going to be like, step one,
all right,
get him the goal to go carries. Step two, get him the catches. Step three, get him the goal to go catches.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right?
Yes. Or he's throwing goal line passes to Drake London or Kyle Pitts.
To one himself.
Of the two. By the way,
there you go.
That seems like the perfect way to utilize him, too, is in the passing game. Get him in space.
If the guy is athletic and has enough ball skills to punt return, You don't think he can catch a flare out of the backfield?
He already did. They did it earlier this year.
Yeah, it worked out great.
It's like his hands didn't fall off.
You know, for a day, we're gonna take the positive spin. We are happy with the go-to-goal carries. That was good, right?
Yes.
For a day.
We'll 17 fantasy points. Yeah, we'll pumped about that.
They need a quarterback.
Yeah. Badly.
All right, back here on Fantasy Focus, Daniel Dot, Mike Clay, and Field Yates making our way through our Week 10 recap. Guys, we're talking about some running backs. Mike, we have mentioned this with the Colts. Mm-hmm. Field said it a bunch. He had 42 million reasons why he was believing that Jonathan Taylor was eventually going to take over this backfield and be the lead guy once again. It's not because Zach Moss isn't good at football. He proved how good he was when Jonathan Taylor wasn't out there running. But this is the Jonathan Taylor show again.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I mean, if you were if I told you back then, this is how this is going to play out. Taylor's going to be limited to 10 snaps, 10 touches his first game. Then they're going to share the workload for a couple weeks, and then Taylor's going to be the featured back. You'd be like, that makes perfect sense. Yep. And that's exactly what they've done.
That's what they did.
Not much makes sense in fantasy football. Sometimes it's all over the place. We just got done talking about Bijan's usage. But for Taylor, it has made a lot of sense. 89% of the snaps in this game, 23 carries, one target, ran 20 pass routes. Zach Moss, 15% of the snaps, only one carry, zero targets, and four pass routes in this game. Moss only has 8 touches in his last 2 games, 2.8 total fantasy points. Since week 6, Jonathan Taylor's RB12 across those 5 games. So he has taken control here he hasn't had like a 200-yard game, like one of those huge Taylor games we saw during his best year, but he's back in that RB1 conversation. They go to a bye week now, but when they come back out of it, Moss not near the flex radar now, but a good insurance back. Jonathan Taylor is an RB1.
Yeah, he's got something to prove, though, in the second half of the season. Now that the workload is in line with what you'd expect it to be, we've got to get the efficiency up and the passing game utilization up. I get it. He has not been a full-time player. But in these 6 games that he's played, he has exactly 1 catch in 3 of them, and he has yet to reach 100 yards on the ground. So while Jonathan Taylor is trending, no question, in the right direction, there's still some room to grow here for a guy that we know is capable of being being the best running back in all fantasy football.
Yeah, no doubt. And it wouldn't surprise me if they're going forward now as it starts to get colder. He has like a Derrick Henry sort of final 6 to 8 weeks of the season where he's getting 25 carries
indoors, though.
Huge numbers and scoring
touchdowns. 1, 2, 3, 4, five of their last 7 games are indoors.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Well, nonetheless, I stand by my point. Just keep running the ball.
It can get cold. We had the Arctic blast in prior years, I think. Maybe.
We've been to Indy, and it's plenty cold walking to and from the stadium.
It is. It's a good point. It is very cold in Indianapolis in the winter.
Yeah, we'll just tell Jim Irsay to turn on the
AC. Leave the roof open. It's his choice, right?
Leave the roof open. I mean, we go to the combine in March, and it's like freezing and windy and Indy. So
I also want to say, I just wanted to congratulate everybody that made it through that game yesterday morning. If you made it through Patriots Colts, congratulations. Thanks for your loyalty to the NFL.
Well, it's tough. Well, they were all watching fantasy football now,
obviously.
So,
But it was like if you were split screening, I'm like, just congratulations you. 10-6. Yeah. 10-6.
Real question. I'm just going to say that there's not a lot of fantasy here. It feels really bad to replace your quarterback on the final game-winning drive of a game.
Yeah.
To have Mac Jones get pulled for Bailey Zappi when they're still in a shot to go down and saying, you know what, we'd rather have this kid that hasn't played all game long be the one that's going to drive us down. Patriots are in a spot. They got to get some things figured out. Really tough.
You guys ever heard of Caleb Williams?
I have.
Maybe Drake May?
I have.
Yeah, do some research on those guys if you live
in
England.
Yeah, they might be playing in the Northeast.
Like we do. Yeah.
We thought they might be like Arizona or somewhere else, but it's looking like it could be
Chicago,
New York.
Chicago. Mike's already cut Daniel Jones for the record.
He's out.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you kind of have to. Yeah.
Let's talk about the Steelers backfield for a minute because
trending up. Let's go.
Sock up. Oh, that's what I had. Trending up. Dang it, Mike.
Is there one player that's trending up or are they both trending up? They're both getting usage in this backfield, guys.
Yeah. They're running the offense through them.
That's right. The past couple of games, two out of the past 3 games, Najee Harris has had his season high in terms of rushing. Oh, by the way, he has 3 or more catches in 3 of his past 4 games. So just that little uptick in passing game utilization certainly works. I'll let Mike talk about Jalen Warren here in a second. We hit you with the numbers already, and I'm sure if there are Steelers fans out there listening to this show right now, they would agree. Najee Harris looks much more like the runner that we saw as a rookie. Punishing, physical, initiating contact. There seems to be a pride factor involved right now. The offensive line has played better of late as well, and Pittsburgh is somehow, someway, 6-3, despite being outgained in every game this season.
Every game. It makes no sense. It happened again this week.
But Najee is trending up to the point that like he is a like borderline top 20 consideration, maybe even a little bit higher, depending on where the bye weeks are in a given week.
Yeah, and they're both going to be a little lower this week. They're playing Cleveland. Yeah, obviously terrific against running backs, so we'll have them a little bit lower than that.
Except for Keaton Mitchell.
I was just going to say
that. Yeah, what they've done here is they've kind of split the workload right down the middle.
Yep.
Their snaps are within a handful pretty much every game. It's actually unreal how close it is. But also splitting like the passing down work too. Not necessarily like Warren as an edge in target share, but looking at snaps, carries, routes, like they're pretty similar. So yeah. It's kind of like whoever's in there can catch the ball. Whoever's in there can run the ball. And that's what we've seen the past couple of weeks. Warren, by the way, back-to-back games with 100+10 scrimmage yards. He set a new career high in fantasy points each of the last 2 weeks. So, you know, again, they're playing better. They're getting more out of this position as a whole. But it's almost like a...
This is Tony Pollard reverse.
Yeah, kind of, though.
I'll tell you why.
What? Why?
These guys feasting, coming at the cost of Deontay Johnson and George Pickens yesterday.
But what I was going to say is they're also both involved, and they're not quite like the Lions running backfield, like where they can both be top 15 options.
Right, they're
kind of taken away from each other as well, which is going to limit them a little bit to borderline RB2 territory. It's better, but it's not elite. So something to keep in mind. They're still kind of fringe RB2s in my mind just because they're just stealing touches from each other, even though they're playing well.
Yeah, but they've got, what did they have, 35 touches between the two of them? 30, be more than that.
Deontay Johnson, one catch yesterday. George Pickens, 3 catches yesterday.
Didn't
Both
feel
of them
good.
Had 4 targets. Yeesh.
Didn't feel good.
I don't know what to make of Pickens. Is he going to get traded in the offseason? I mean, he's not
happy there. Not surprise me. Listen, George Pickens is wonderfully talented. There's a reason why he fell to the second round of the draft.
Yeah.
There's some management that you have to sort of bake into having George Pickens on your roster. Right now, we're seeing it.
Yep. Unfortunately. All right, let's move ahead and talk about Brian Robinson. This kid broke out here in week 10.
Breaking my projections.
In part because he had 6 receptions for 119 receiving yards and a touchdown. What? Is that what your projection was, Mike?
How many I had like 102 yards.
So you were just a little shy of it. But we were right there on it. This is not the kind of game that we expect from Brian Robinson. I understand.
Oh, wait.
Go ahead, Field.
Hold on.
All right. Do you expect this kind of game?
You don't expect 119 receiving yards in a game from a guy who coming into yesterday had 137 receiving yards for the season.
Well, they were slow playing it.
Oh,
that's gotcha. What it was.
Okay, they were saving
saving it for week 10.
They were saving it for when they're, 3-6 now?
Yes.
4-6,
no one was expecting it this week. That's why.
Unbelievable.
He's like the Taysom Hill of running backs this season.
Really is. 8 touchdowns in 10 games played. He keeps finding the end zone. And he is a capable receiver, right? Like, clearly he's got the goods to be used in the passing game. He's just hasn't been because they have Antonio Gibson. They've got a lot of wide receivers. They've got a useful tight end. They've got, you know, the capabilities to, and I should say this, they are often playing from behind as well. And yet Brian Robinson just like keeps finding a way. His second week, unless something crazy happens tonight, is this top scoring running back in fantasy this
year. Yeah, and that's what I wanted to point out. He has 2 of those weeks. He's been 15th or worse every other week.
Yeah,
he's only 16th in points per game at running back. That's why I'm not buying this. He's still a fringe RB2 for me. He had a career high in targets, catches, and receiving yards in this game. His prior career highs in those categories were 4 targets, 4 catches, and 42 yards. His prior career in receiving yards was 42 yards.
Crazy.
He had 119 in this one. And by the way, 8 carries, 38 yards, no rushing touchdowns. So it's been touchdown or bust or a random huge receiving game, which this is the first one he's ever had in his career.
Yep.
Not buying it yet. It's almost like a little bit of a Gus Edwards kind of spike like that. And then back to earth here.
If you told me, and Field, you had the stat coming into the week, if you told me that Sam Howell was going to throw the ball 40 or more times, I wouldn't think that Brian Robinson is going to get a ton of work on the ground, so I wouldn't think he'd have a ton of production.
And he didn't.
Fourth week in a row, by the way, that he threw the ball 40 or more times, and he just broke the model.
And, of course, you know, huge day again for Jahan Dotson and Terry McLaurin. Oh, wait.
No.
They combined for 4 catches and 38 yards, and Dotson had 0 of them.
How does he throw the ball 44 times, and he doesn't get those guys
involved?
Howell
is leading the NFL in pass attempts and completions. He's, like, second in passing yards, or this was all going into yesterday, and he's just had another big game.
Yes.
And like McLaurin's been fine, but not where
he was. 100 yard receiving games.
And Jahan Dotson disappeared. 0 catches.
He had 0 catches yesterday.
And Curtis Samuel didn't do much.
Byron Pringle had a catch yesterday. How much? Like the end of the game, it's like, all right, here you go. Sam Howell drops back.
You know what?
He's got Byron Pringle and Diami Brown crossing across the middle. Here we go.
Yeah, Jamison Crowder.
That's enough.
You know what it is? It is the Chiefs offense.
Yes.
Eric
Bieniemy
just
making his mark.
Yeah.
Howell's playing like Mahomes, and does he have more fantasy points than Mahomes? No, he's
probably, with an extra game in hand, I would imagine. Frustrating.
Yeah.
Geno Smith got back on track yesterday. Took advantage of a great, great matchup.
Hey, I want to ask you guys this question really quickly. Okay. You're talking about guys that are breaking the model, right?
Mm-hmm.
Taysom Hill, we mentioned him. He's actually in our e-block if you guys have him in the know. But he is doing the same thing. Last 4 weeks, he broke the model. We told everyone, hey, guess what? You can start him this week. And this is exactly sort That's of what we said. Predicted, right?
Taysom was definitely playing against himself in fantasy yesterday.
It looked like
There's no other explanation.
Well, I mean, he has to get, you know, he's not calling the plays. He had 7% of their design rushing attempts in this game. He had 42% last week.
What yeah. So you're saying it's not his fault.
So it's not him. We need to make shirts for Taysom Hill too.
I'm just saying my theory that he was playing against himself in fantasy might be stronger than that one. You look a very reasonable one. Mine is like completely
flippant.
I forgot.
You're very emotional this week.
Yes. That's what it is. Yeah.
So frustrating. He still has 4+ targets in 4 of his last 5. I think better days ahead, but of course he has 3 good ones. We're feeling good about him and he lets us down. We just, and now he goes on a bye. So
is he your start of the week?
He was my start of the week, yeah.
Oh,
ooh,
should have been my sit of the week.
I don't remember who my start of the week was. I'd rather, maybe let's not revisit those. In case.
I had Bijan with a touchdown.
You had Ferguson? You had a tight
end. Oh, I had Jake Ferguson.
He's fine.
Who did you have?
Yeah.
Bijan.
He had Bijan.
With a touchdown. I called the touchdown.
By the way, we have to look at our board bets. I think our
I'll tell you what.
Javonte Adams ones.
Versus Jacoby Myers, right?
Yeah. That one. Who had Myers? So had the Myers side.
Daniel Myers.
I took Myers on
that. No, I know, but it was.
I think you had Devontae versus Jacoby straight up.
So I
and then
one.
I had Devontae top 20.
23, I think it was.
And right, he's like going to be fringy. Or he's going to have. He's going to need some help tonight from Cortland Sutton and Stephon Diggs.
What about the other board bet that we had? Both Lions being top 20 running backs. Did you guys know if did I win that one or did you guys win that one?
Well, we haven't seen the full game play out tonight.
Okay, so we got to wait and see if everyone. Okay, all right.
I think what's Montgomery, like 13th or something?
Yeah. They're both going to be up there.
Again, Leonard Fournette still hasn't played.
There's some options.
Latavius Murray still hasn't played.
If they all get in the end zone, I'm going to be so pissed.
Adam Troutman might change to running back and play that tonight.
Yeah, we need like 8 running backs.
Don't do that. Don't do that to us. We don't want any of that.
Anyway.
That's a tough one here within the Saints defense. Within the Saints offense. Outside of Taysom Hill, though, I do want to say this. Jameis Winston coming in for Derek Carr.
YOLO. Revitalize Chris Olave.
Just throwing out to Chris Olave. I'm pumped if that's going to work
he's
out.
He's built for garbage time.
Oh, so, my God, is he ever.
It was perfect. So they go on a bye.
A Spider-Man emoji.
Yeah, they're on a bye, so Derek Carr might be the starter coming off the bye. So
we'll not be surprised by that.
We'll keep that in mind as we move forward. All right, back here on Fantasy Focus, doing our Week 10 recap. Guys, we got a couple of duds we're going to focus on here, unfortunately. We talked about a good bunch of good performances so far, so let's talk about some tough ones.
All right.
DeAndre Hopkins, not fantastic. Will Levis just struggled in this game. This passing offense, unfortunately, for the Titans did not look fantastic. One of the things that you do love about Nuke, Field Yates, he still had 8 targets.
It's 49er.
He is a 49er.
3 However, catches for 27 yards, though, doesn't do
I'm
it.
Kicking myself a little bit on this one because a couple of weeks ago when Will Levis debuted and had 4 passing touchdowns, I took the cheese. I thought to myself, like, oh, maybe this just guy just has the it factor. He is from Connecticut via Massachusetts originally, so maybe there's Pro Bowl / Hall of Fame potential here. Then I realized that, like, perhaps when you complete 18 passes and 4 of them go for touchdowns for, like, 288 yards, maybe there's some luck involved there. In the 2 games since, the Titans have scored 1 offensive touchdown, 0 through the air. And oh, by the way, Will Levis is completing just north of 50% of his passes. I thought about this in terms of some of the wide receivers that I see hover up towards the rankings each and every week. Maybe I just need to downgrade some of those heavy volume but low touchdown potential players. Because while there is more risk, obviously, involved with guys that might only catch 3 to 5 passes, like if the touchdown production feels likelier, then maybe I will start to not fade from my lineups entirely, but maybe I will start to move DeAndre Hopkins and maybe Adam Thielen, those kind of guys of the world, further down my rankings, because it's going to take 10 or more catches or an atypical scoring day from an offense right now that in both cases feels very unlikely to score a touchdown.
Yep.
Yeah, I hear you. On the other hand, I mean, 20 targets his last 2 games.
For DeAndre?
I know the production's been bad, but that's going to lead, you know, that's going to lead to some big days. The thing is, it's just going to be boom bust in this offense for reasons you laid out. We've seen that 22+ fantasy points in 2 of his last 5 games, under 11 in the other 3 games.
Right.
So he just fits that 49er vibe right now. It's going to be
a lot of 49ers in this podcast.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what's hard for me within this is you look at a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, and I get everything you're saying about the volume, but wide receiver is just so deep. So they're like the ball is being thrown so much. It's such a passing league that we have guys that come out of nowhere. And it's like, I'm not saying that you want to do this, right? This is probably a bad example, but like, no one would have expected Noah Brown to all of a sudden come out and be this guy that you've got to consider, right?
And start him over someone like DeAndre Hopkins. Would you start
him over DeAndre Hopkins? And understanding what CJ Stroud in that offense is doing, like, I'm not saying that you're at that spot, but it's an emotional thing, right? You've got a situation where you have these guys and how deep wide receiver is, where it's like, you know, wide receiver 30 is still a startable wide receiver for us.
I have not pondered that one yet. Noah Brown versus DeAndre Hopkins or Adam Thielen. But
I'm just saying.
It's a fun one to think about for this week.
Yeah, yeah, I think over the last 2 weeks, one receiver is more yards than Noah Brown, CeeDee Lamb.
That's ridiculous.
Wow, that's unreal. All right, let's talk about Travis Etienne. He was unfortunate this week. 9 carries, 35 yards, 2 catches, 9 receptions.
This is a dusted off.
This was like the first time since the beginning of the season we've seen him really struggle.
Well, you know what it is. You know what this is.
What was it?
I was playing you in two leagues. I had Etienne on both of those teams. You traded me Etienne for Daniel Jones and a super flex and Romeo Doubs. You got a decent player out of that.
Yeah.
And he was just, you know, we want to do you a solid.
He did.
Like, we're going to take a week off here. We're going to rest you up. Take the foot off the gas.
I texted him from my burner phone and I asked him to take it easy on me.
And he did. He did that for you. So.
Yeah, I mean, on the positive side, he still has 7 touchdowns in the past 5 games.
That's really good.
No production yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm not worried. We're playing the 49ers. They good at defense? They good at defense
they are.
At all?
Yes,
yeah. They are good at defense.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of the Jags offense, by the way. Just not that good. How good are the Jags? I mean, for 6-3. I mean, defense has been okay. Offense has not. It's been up and down, but they don't score touchdowns. I mean, they have had some major duds.
Yeah, they have. Well, how about Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah.
What do you make of him? The 2021 draft class is obviously the quarterbacks beside Trevor Lawrence have been very bad. Maybe there's a glimmer of hope for Justin Fields, but other than that, it feels like three that have just gone by the wayside. Mm-hmm. But if Trevor Lawrence, if we're doing a quarterback draft right now, how high does he go?
You're talking fantasy or in
real life? No, real life. Right, like, build your team around him.
7th, 8th, something like that, you think?
Maybe lower. 7th.
Yeah,
I don't know. Off the top of my head, I'll do this quick.
Anyway,
Mahomes, Burrow, Herbert, Jalen Hurts, Stroud,
Lamar.
There's a couple others in there, I'm sure.
Yeah, but anyway,
let's turn to the next topic.
He was drafted first overall to be a top five guy or an elite guy, and he's just
correct. Josh Allen, up and down.
Part of that reason is because of the fact that he added what was supposed to be a superstar to this offense. We thought in Calvin Ridley, we thought that was going to be a part of why he was able to take the next step, and that has not been happening here. Christian Kirk, the guy that he is locked into, he continues to be fantastic in this offense.
We have like a minute before we got to do a quick break here.
Okay. But
Tony Pollard, man.
Oh,
like, I just don't want to tell you guys. Like,
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. Other than like maybe, and I've said this before, maybe the Cowboys were just right. Maybe they were just right that he was at his best being the change of pace guy. Now, in some ways, they were wrong because they have now made him the featured guy. But the featured role does not fit Tony Pollard very well. If you look at his production in terms of total touches this year per game compared to last year, it's not that far off.
Yep.
The big difference is touchdowns and efficiency. He's averaging nearly 3 yards per catch fewer this season than he did last year. The rushing production is down on a per carry basis, and the touchdowns are way down, Mike.
You want to hear an incredible stat?
Oh, gosh.
Look this up last night. There's one player in the NFL, any position, one player who has 12-plus touches and 55-plus yards in every single game this season that he's played. 100%.
Tony Pollard.
Oh, and he's a disappointment. Yes. He's the only guy that's had that sort of floor. And he has disappointed. Still played almost 70% of the snaps in this game. Under 10 fantasy points. It's
the anti-Dak from last year, right? Like, the Cowboys kept scoring all those points last year. And Dak kept being like quarterback 17 every week.
Yeah, he's the fantasy enigma of 2023. We just can't figure this out. All the snaps, all the volume, or a respectable amount of volume. And just cannot get over the top in terms of fantasy production.
We've got to put him outside the top 10 this week. Let him earn that spot.
I think you're right.
It's tough. They play Carolina.
Okay. I'm still putting him outside the top 10.
Second most fantasy points to running backs.
It's frustrating when I watch the backup running backs come in and I'm like, oh, that used to be Tony Pollard. And in that backup role, it's a Rico Dowdle or Deuce Vaughn is like breaking off 13, 15 yard runs. And it's like, that's what we used to see from Tony Pollard.
Yeah.
All right. Let's say that you've got all three of these guys. All three of them were duds, unfortunately. Give me a ranking of confidence on these guys being able to bounce back moving forward.
Travis Etienne, 1 by a long shot.
Yep.
Tony Pollard, 2.
I agree.
DeAndre Hopkins, 3.
Yeah. I think that's pretty easy, too. I think there's still hope for Pollard because of that volume. And, you know, again, if we're a month from now, we might say, here we go. Pollard scored 5 touchdowns his last 4 games in this elite Dallas offense with a light schedule. I don't think any of us would be shocked by that.
No.
So, yep. Agreed.
Definitely not.
Got to keep starting him.
Since Dak Prescott has been on fire, Tony Pollard, running back 11, then running back 41, 26, and 38. Three straight games outside the top 25.
Yep. It's terrible.
All right, let's talk about some Texans wide receivers, friends. Let's do this. I brought up Noah Brown a little bit earlier on the show. We also got Tank Dell. By the way, within this game, there was no Nico Collins. You know what? I'm going to ask you this question first. Who's the best quarterback in the state of Texas? Is it CJ Stroud or is it Dak Prescott?
Oh, my God.
I know both? Who I draft first if I was starting a team and expansion draft. Stroud.
Yes, but they're both awesome.
They both look fantastic. Awesome. They are both absolutely slinging it for their teams. Right now, if you look at this wide receiving core for the Texans, Tank Dell keeps doing the things that we expected him to do. I'm really surprised.
Maybe more.
It is more than that, in part because there was no Nico Collins. I'm really surprised by Noah Brown. I just want to ask you guys, because I feel like this has been 2 weeks in a row. Part of this feels like, because someone has been out, Noah Brown has stepped up. Robert Woods was out the first week, and then Nico Collins was out the second week, and he has just filled in this role. Is there enough passing volume that all of these wide receivers at least need to be rostered?
That's what I wanted to ask. I think we need to rank them, because if Nico Collins is back this week, you're going to have him, of course, and maybe the one. Tank Dell, obviously, he's been terrific. Noah Brown's playing really well, and he beat out Tank Dell for the slot job coming into the season.
Yep.
And then Robert Woods isn't going away. He had a pretty big target share. He played a lot yesterday. He's involved. Not to mention the
targets. Called back.
Not to mention the targets for Dalton Schultz. An occasional target or two for John Metchie. It was their five now. I mean, imagine being in that situation. And also David Montgomery actually got going.
Devin Singletary.
What did I say?
David Montgomery. Oh, yeah. Well, he did get going.
He got going as well.
Yeah. Devin Singletary.
Both accurate.
Same draft. Yeah. But anyway, just like figuring out those four receivers, what I'm worried is going to happen is it's going to be like a 49ers situation where they're going to rotate all four receivers in on top of the tight end and the running back. And we're going to be like, all right, so he had a great game, then he had a down game. Like, what's the order here? Like, what's the priority? Where are we ranking these guys when they're all healthy?
I'll give it a shot here. Do you have the routes run for Noah Brown yesterday?
No, he had 55 snaps. So he outsnapped Robert Woods 55 to 45.
Yeah. So if I had to go back and guess, I think that Tank Dell has taken over number one.
You think he's number one? Okay.
14 targets
that's fair.
Yesterday. 14 for Tank Dell.
Yep.
And by the way, he is a slot. He can be a slot receiver, but he also has some vertical presence.
Oh, he's
so it opens
outside.
Up the playbook a lot.
Yep. Yeah.
He'd be number one. Assuming he's healthy, Nico Collins would be number two.
I agree. Yeah.
And then Noah Brown.
I agree.
The reason why is if you need. Like, I just think the upside's way higher, obviously, for Noah Brown than Robert Woods. Like, one guy's had over 125 yards in back-to-back games. Mm-hmm. The other guy has been a very good receiver in the NFL for a long time, but is not going to press for 125 yards in a game.
Yeah, he's just been a short-range target. His air yards were, like, 100 lower than Noah Brown in that game. So I'm with you. I think the targets could be similar for, like, Woods and Brown, but where those targets are, high value versus low value, I think they'd be better for Brown. So I agree with that order.
So the story is unquestionably CJ Stroud.
Mm-hmm.
It's a home run pick, as we have just said. Like,
crushed
if we're starting a franchise from scratch today, he might be one of the first six or seven players taken.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is a little bit of a second story that should be told right now for Houston. And this is not totally fantasy related, but it does have a couple of the guys that we're going to discuss in this conversation. Their pro personnel department crushed it in free agency this offseason. Think about all the guys they signed. None of them for big money. Who are actually playing a real role. Dalton Schultz has been great of late.
Awesome.
Devin Singletary was terrific yesterday. 150 rushing yards and a touchdown. He was awesome.
Noah Brown,
a one-year deal for nothing this offseason. Mm-hmm. Robert Woods, I mean, that one's been fine. Right? He's playing a lot for them. But like then on defense, on offense, this offensive line has been protecting out of its gourd, Mike.
Out of its gourd. There it is.
Use that more. Guys like George Fant, guys who were on the street. So just an awesome job. And if you are a fan for a team that right now stinks, I want you to think about the Texans and think about how depressing it was last year for Houston. And right now, how fun and exciting they are. Just remember, in the NFL, you are one good offseason away from being right back in the thick of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I like a shout out to their cornerback room too. Like
Shaq
I love
Griffin.
When teams bring in Shaq Griffin as their four. Yeah. And like he's had to play a lot because Derek Stingley, they've gotten almost nothing out of him so far. Even when he's played, he's struggled. He's back healthy as of yesterday. Imagine if he turns into a superstar. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've done a great, Steven Nelson, one of the most underrated corners in the NFL. I'm with you. They've done a great job turning this team around. It's not just one guy. Like Stroud is a franchise changing player for sure. But they've had a better than you'd think core in place.
We always do this with quarterbacks. The quarterback, you have a great quarterback. We say like, what would this team do without this quarterback? I get it. They'd be a whole lot worse. But without the other guys around, they'd also be a whole lot worse, right?
Like, yes.
Think about what Buffalo is doing right now with all the attrition they've had on their roster, even with Josh Allen playing really good football. They're 5-4.
Yep.
Anyways.
I had a question coming into that, but you guys eventually talked long enough that I forgot what the question was. So I guess we're ready to move on. Yeah, sometimes that happens. Yeah. No big deal here.
You're welcome.
Let's move on and talk about Christian Watson.
No, thank you.
Nope, let's not.
This was tough. Are you out on Christian as a flex play?
Out.
Can you believe he led them in targets again?
Yeah.
He led them in targets
definitely
again.
Definitely air yards, right?
No, I'm probably air yards. Yeah. I don't know. There were some long throws like Jaden Reed and Dobbs, but yeah, only 2 for 23, under 7 fantasy points in 4 straight games. Where did I see it? There was an article today about them interviewing Watson and Love and LaFleur and like asking them questions like, what's going on? Why is this not happening? There was no good answers. Just blaming other people.
Tough look right now. Question for
this
you guys.
This has gone wrong. It's just not working.
What or how many catches is a season high for Christian Watson this year?
What's the
most catches he has in a game this year?
Three.
Yeah.
Three. So he hasn't even reached 4 catches in a game this season. Daniel's been harping on this stat for the entire year, and I think it's a big part of it, is Jordan Love is just not a good, consistent, deep field thrower.
Down the field.
Nope. Unless it's Jaden Reed or Dobbs, apparently. Yeah,
apparently.
He threw a beauty to Reed for that touchdown yesterday.
Yes, and then he also had that crazy play at the end of the game where you're like, oh my God, like, are they going to come back and win this game? Mm-hmm. But it's not happening right now with Christian Watson. I think he should be benched. I do not think he should be dropped because he had 9 touchdowns last season, but... one of the seasons that has just gone by the wayside for Christian Watson.
Yeah, he's going to have what? He's going to catch a long one. He's going to have like a 4 for 130 and 2 touchdowns sort of game here, but you're going to take a lot of duds in the meantime.
We just flashed 2 separate headshots for Christian Watson on our graphic here.
Did we really?
Did we?
Maybe. And they're both accurate. They're both him. Maybe Christian should go back to the old headshot. Whatever was working last year, ask ESPN.com to default to that.
Go back
instead.
To that. That's what it is. That's what it is.
You guys know how we are in fantasy. Like last night when Davante Adams needed like 3 catches left, I tried every trick in the book.
I'll bet you did.
Muted, unmuted the TV. Changed the channel, then went back. Yep. All right, you name it. I went from one side of the couch to the other. Uh-huh. I went from drinking water to drinking Miller Lights. Then I kept drinking the Miller Lights because I wasn't catching the passes.
It wasn't happening.
So that was worthwhile. That's what we need to do right now for Christian Watson.
It's so frustrating.
Change your headshot.
Not just that. Within this Packers offense, how many guys do you feel confident starting week in and week out?
Zero.
Right now, it's Aaron Jones is the only one.
You said confident, right?
I know. I don't even feel confident about it. I'm starting Aaron Jones, but I don't feel confident. That's a fair thing to say. Yeah. Doesn't feel great.
A lot of bad offenses in the NFL this year.
Yep.
You guys ever do a bad offense draft at some point? Who's the worst?
Yeah, we should.
Oh.
Who's number one? Giants right now?
Giants with DeVito, no question about it. You're telling me Matt Barkley's not better than something to that? They have to start Barkley. Yeah, he will. Great. Yeah. I mean, hopefully they get Tyrod back because it's just ruining. Like, we can't even get
Patriots, Packers.
That's a Wednesday topic.
Yeesh.
I don't feel good about it.
Should we do that? Should we do a little mini draft?
Not a bad idea.
On Wednesday and talk fantasy. Like, how many players would you play from these teams?
Actually, that wouldn't be bad. I think it would just be depressing.
Put some fantasy spin on it.
But we can put some fantasy. What about, so then let me mention this. Jaden Reed got in the end zone. Would you think about playing Jaden Reed?
No. 6 or fewer targets in 6 straight games. Only 2 games over 12.5 fantasy points. I came ready on this one.
Yeah, you did.
Because he had 5 for 84 in a touchdown yesterday. He played 53% of the snaps in this game.
Yep.
Last week, that was actually up from 37% the week before. So the playing time's not there on top of everything else. Good. Although, they're playing the Chargers. So who knows? Like, this Chargers defense... I mean, it could be 43-40 next week.
The Jets' offense look terrible. I could see the Chargers' defense making the Packers' offense look terrible.
That's fair.
Did you guys see my tweet from last night? What? The Jets now have 3 offensive touchdowns in their past 5 games.
And they're all scored by?
Brees Hall.
I did see that, actually.
Think about how those touchdowns were scored. A 72-yard run.
Yep.
A 50-yard screen pass. And an 8-yard run in which Brees Hall was escorted to the end zone. He was carried into the end zone by Jordan Davis. Collective mass of he and Jalen Carter of like 700. They're like, you know what? Just go on in because we want to have a chance to come back and win.
I saw there was a report the other day that the Jets like expressed their confidence in Zach Wilson by not, they like talked about Carson Wentz, but decided not to sign him. And it was like almost like, great job. Like, show confidence in your game. No, that was a wrong decision.
That was a bad decision.
What are you doing? Like, come on, you need guys. A quarterback. But
I was going to say, like, if you, there seem to be more Zach Wilson defenders than I realized. And of course, he's had some like moments that he's looked fine. He did have that long throw at the end of the game last night.
You see that arm talent.
You're awesome,
like,
right?
What's going on here? Yeah.
But when you've scored 3 touchdowns in 5 games, the most important position in sports is probably in part responsible for that futility.
There's no question about it. You just have to watch them. I mean, it's just not good enough.
This is one of those situations where you see a kid that seemingly has all the physical, like tangible.
Probably was drafted second overall.
Right? Like he can scramble. He can run. He's got a huge arm. But it's just like decision-making, sometimes accuracy, the awareness, like the ability to be able to move within a pocket. Dude, watching... And never mind. I don't want to get on a soapbox. No. But anyways, let's keep moving on here.
Monday
and talk
football
about
outro.
Let's...
Yeah.
All right. Back here on Fantasy Focus Football. Field J's Mike Clay, Daniel Dopp, cleaning up our Monday show with a Monday Night Football
cleaning
preview.
It up. Was it dirty?
Yeah. Well, we had a few fumbles along the way. Yeah, no big deal. We're talking Broncos at the Bills. Field, I'm just going to lay this out for you. You got a Bills team taking on what was supposed to be a very vulnerable Broncos defense. We've seen that change a little bit over the last couple of weeks. Yep. What are you looking for going into this Monday Night Football matchup?
What I'm looking for from the Bills is what kind of utilization we get from James Cook, which is one of the great mysteries in all of fantasy football right now. They've got 3 other players on their roster that are extremely predictable, right? Josh Allen might be the best quarterback in all of fantasy with Jalen Hurts on a bye this week.
Yep.
Stephon Diggs is unbelievable. He's had 20-plus fantasy points in like 6 of his first 9 games this season. And then also Dalton Kincaid has all of a sudden become a top 5 tight end in terms of consistency with his target share. James Cook is a mystery, though. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to ask you what you're expecting, Mike, because you, who has every number available, probably still doesn't have a great grasp on how Buffalo's going to use him.
No, I'd just like to see them expand his role. Let's get him to 12 carries and 5 or 6 targets. Yeah. That's not asking much.
Yeah.
I don't think in this offense, I just don't know that that's going to happen.
You know,
Latavius Murray, I projected for 7 or 8 points because they'll get the edge at the goal line.
Vulture.
Who knows? Does Leonard Fournette get a call up today? We don't know if that's going to happen. Does he add to the roster and plays in this
one? Wouldn't stun me.
No, wouldn't surprise me at all. So we'll see. But yeah, I think, you know, look, if you have Cook, you're like, if I get double-digit fantasy points at this point, I'll be happy.
He hasn't
been delivering that. So, but otherwise, you're right. It's pretty straightforward. Maybe we'll get 1 catch out of Gabe Davis, too.
Hey!
Oh, wow.
Didn't
Who has more catches this week, Gabe Davis or Christian Watson?
Watson had 2.
Do you think Gabe Davis is over or under that? That's
I'll
the board bet.
Well, here's the thing. He's not going to be close, right? He'll either have
zero or 9.
Have 7.
Yeah.
either have like 12 yards or 142 yards.
You know, that got me thinking because that sounds like sort of a red zone question. We had the saddest red zone question of all time yesterday.
What was it?
Will the Giants score an offensive touchdown?
Oh, and I was the only one to say yes, I think, wasn't I?
I definitely said yes.
Did they score an offensive touchdown?
They sure did. They scored 2, yeah.
Yeah. Tommy DeVito.
A
while. Rushing touchdown.
It was a little,
that's right.
I want to say the first one wasn't really garbage time. I mean, it was like, 21-0, but it was like
28-0 coming out of half.
Was,
and I scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
To make
I mean,
it
Dallas was still playing, you know, at that point. The other one was garbage time for sure. But they scored 2.
That's tough. That
Denver side, what I'm watching for tonight is I truly believe what Denver wants to do, and whether they're able to do it is a different question. They want to play this game with the same formula that they played the Kansas City game.
Oh, yeah.
They want to play much improved defense.
Yep.
Run the crap out of the ball
and be opportunistic in
the passing game. Yeah, Javonte Williams had 30 opportunities 2 weeks ago when they last played in a game. Wouldn't surprise me if he has fully seized this backfield if they can play anything like they did 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, we saw, and in that game, we saw Javonte Williams kind of take clear control of the backfield. I've since made a big dynasty trade in which I acquired him, and Jaleel McLaughlin went the other way as part of that deal, which is weird. But
all right. What else went the other way?
There was a lot of moving parts, but I essentially moved Terry McLaurin as the key going the other direction. Good at receiver, got back Javonte Williams at it, looking at a young running back. So if it's like McLaughin
wide receivers
takes over,
that barely catch the ball, that's interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to interrupt you both. Pick this game for me, Bills.
I'll take the Bills.
I'll take the Broncos then. Take the Bills, then the Bills are going to lose, guys. So I'm going to do this for the people.
Circle the
wagons. We love you guys. Thank you for hanging out with us. Have fun watching Monday Night Football. We'll be back tomorrow. Field, Stefania, and I.
I need a stat correction of 3 points somehow.
Good luck with that one.
See you guys. I need like 80 against you.
What if the exact stat correction that you got in your favor in one matchup worked against you in the other? And so you guys had 80 points 1-1 against each other?
That'd be incredible. Yeah. That'd be so good.
That'd be rare. I don't think we've had one of those before.
Never?
80-point swing?
Maybe. possible.
How many guys do you have going tonight? Not. This might be possible. You need to not have James Cook. You need Stephon Diggs.
He's a NASCAR guy with a basement shrine, a Langford fan for life. Chargers are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up all